I'm joined here today by driver of the number 21 Chevrolet in the Arca Menard series for GMS Racing, Mr. Daniel Dye. Daniel, how are you doing today?
Doing good, man. How about you?
Not too bad. It's raining. The bottom kind of fell out and my hat's kind of wet. But other than that, it's all good up here in Houston. So,
that's kind of how it's been down here in Central Florida, too. It was pretty rough yesterday.
Yeah, Central Florida and rain. That you can't really think of a more iconic duo when you think of Central Florida, you know, Central Florida and rain, especially around this time.
Yeah, they're opposite.
Yeah. So first and foremost, big win this week at Berlin. That had to have felt good to come out there and just dominate the way you guys did.
Yeah, it was a great day for sure. You know, we second in practice there right off the bat, and then to get the pole. And I read it was actually the ARCA track record now, which is pretty cool. And lead every lap there on Saturday night was amazing. Chad Bryant put together a fantastic race car and honestly made it easy for me.
Yeah, Chad's been a fixture around that series for a while, and I'm sure having him around as your crew chief has really been a big help going into this season.
Yeah, it was only my third race with him, which is really cool. We get the success that we did so early. He's been a big help in trying to get me in more of a professional environment in the racing world. So to get him his first win on the year was really, really cool. I got 5 more chances to get him some more, though.
Yeah, for sure. Going to Iowa next week. But Berlin's a pretty cool track. It's a nice short track up there, I'd imagine. It must have been fun kind of getting off the truck and running around there.
Yeah, Berlin's a really tricky place. I got to go there on Wednesday with Terry Seneker and see the place at speed, which I think was a big help for the race on Saturday. And Terry got me hooked up and got to see the track a little bit early on Saturday or on Wednesday at a super late model. So, yeah, it's a cool short track. I'd definitely like to go back in the future.
Was that your first start there, or had you run any races there in the late models? Or
nope, that was my first start.
Impressive to go out there and win in your first start and lead 198 laps. That's pretty impressive. And you beat the two best drivers in the series this year with Haim and Ty Gibbs. There was a good battle with you and Ty Gibbs, though, I'd imagine, coming up in the future. That'd be two drivers to look at, I'd imagine, right?
Yeah, that was part of why the win was so special, is because that Joe Gibbs Racing short track program in the Arca Menard series is almost untouchable. You know, I don't think Corey had a whole lot for Ty Elko until that late race restart. He raced him hard there for a little bit, but you know, it's usually the Ty Gibbs show or the Sammy Smith show on short track. So to beat that 18 car at a short track like we did on Saturday was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a big win for you guys, and it was awesome to get that first win. I saw you just missed that wreck. I saw that tweet. That made me laugh.
Yeah, with what Ty got into me there, and I thought it was over just because I was so aired out. In the race car, you know, there's a certain angle that the car gets to where you know it's over. Like you just, it's like you gave up. You did everything you could to a certain point, but at that point it's just over. And I almost hit that angle. It was probably like a centimeter away from it. But I did everything I could to save that race car, cranked it as far to the right as it could go, and stood on the gas a little bit to get it straightened back out. And luckily it worked out. And, you know, I stayed side by side with Ty, which was crazy. And, we didn't even not lead that lap. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. When the race was over, did you guys kind of talk about that? Or do you think that was just sort of a racing deal, or how did that whole, were you upset about it at first, or how did everything get smoothed over with that?
I was definitely upset about it at first. Initially what I thought was that he was just trying to race me really hard and he got into me. Thinking back on it and talking to Chad a little bit about it, there's a bump getting into three that if you hit it wrong, it it launches the race car up the racetrack up to the point where really where I was running, giving him room. It throws you that far up the racetrack. So he didn't say anything about it. He didn't he never brought up that part of it. He did congratulate me in his interview as well as texting me, but never brought up that part of it. So I think winning it helped my heart a little bit.
Yeah, that's something I've always wondered with race car drivers. You know, and early in the race, there's a period of time where they get into somebody or they race too hard too early in the race, but they win. When they win, it's usually not as big a deal, I would imagine, right?
Well, I think if Ty would have won and that would have been the reason why he won, I would have hoped he would say something about it. Sorry, my door's squeaky there.
It happens.
I would have hoped that he would say something about it, but I think winning that move didn't change the outcome of the race. So I think if it did, you know, the right thing to do would be to reach out. If roles were reversed, I probably would have reached out anyways. But yeah, it's not a big deal that just because it didn't change the outcome of the race.
Yeah, no doubt. There's certainly a code amongst the drivers, I'd imagine, when it comes out or comes to that reaching out and everything. But yeah, that was a really great race, and it was fun to watch you get the win. I want to talk a little bit about where you got your start in racing. Could you kind of explain to some of our listeners like how everything got going for you?
Yeah, I started racing quarter midgets when I was 8 and a half. At New Smyrna Speedway, they got a quarter midget track in the infield there, and raced those for about 6 years up until I was 14, and made the move to Pro 8 models my first year, ran Super 8 models my second year. Now this is only my third year of racing big cars, so and here we are in ARCA. So just kind of each year take a step up the ladder, and you know, hopefully next year the step up the ladder is a full-time ARCA program. It'll be cool if we can get a deal together to run all 20 ARCA races next year. I'd love to race at Daytona and some of those big tracks, you know. So, yeah, really looking forward to just keep climbing.
Yeah, for sure. You've been climbing the ladder well. I watched you at the Snowball, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but driver intros. I was kind of standing around, and you came up to me and said, I hope you're having a good time, and talked to me for a second. And I was like, that's pretty cool. You know, I thought that was really cool that we got to talk for a second at the Snowball Derby. That was a fun race, I'd imagine.
It was definitely a fun race, especially Friday night. You know, qualifying as good as we did was really cool. You know, and that was actually my 17th birthday, too. So it's kind of, I talked like for the month prior. Just making the Snowball Derby is what I wanted for my birthday. So to do it like that was great.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I had to mute myself there, but it was a really cool weekend.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I noticed that when I went there for qualifying, I don't think I've ever seen a spectacle like that. To see all those guys working as hard as they do to try to make that race, I think it was better than Indy 500 bump day or the Gatorade duels or any of that. It was spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, Derby qualifying's crazy. You had Chase Elliott, Noah Gregson, Bubba Pollard. You know, all three of those guys didn't qualify. They had to race their way in through the LCQ, which Noah didn't make it, and he's won the race, I think, once or twice. So, it's huge. And especially, like, sixth at all those guys was crazy. But, making the race was insane. A lot of really good race cars didn't make that race. Like, you know, Carson Hosovar is a great late model racer, and he missed the show. I don't think he's even made the Derby yet. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, to do it on our first try was really special.
Yeah, the thing I've noticed about Five Flags that's really cool is just how much you can pass if you save your tires in the race. I saw Grant Enfinger. He was kind of laying back, but towards the end, he got such a sharp, like, boost of momentum, and it's just such a cool race, you know?
Yeah, saving your junior stuff at Five Flags is kind of the main thing, you know, racing there, that it eats up tires. Like, it's a cheese grater, like you hear Larry McReynolds say on TV. That place is really a cheese grater. It eats up tires worse than any racetrack I've seen. So, yeah, you gotta save your stuff, and that's kind of the name of the game. You talk to any race car driver, whether it's Kyle Busch or the guy that's 18 laps down at a street stock race at Five Flags, and they're all going to tell you gotta save your stuff. That's just the main thing there, man.
Absolutely. I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about your the guy you've been working with, Jimmy Kitchens. I know he's a big part of your life, and that guy is a famed member of the Alabama gang, one of the best late model drivers around that region. How much has that helped you with your progression here into ARCA?
Yeah, he's been a big help. You know, unfortunately, he has not been available to spot for me when I drive the 21 car. But he has every race prior. I've only raced three races that Jimmy Kitchens has not spotted for me. So to have a help like him, you know, and a mentor like him come up the ranks with me and help me up to this point is really, really awesome. I'm really proud to say I know Jimmy, and he's been a big help for me. You know, just learning racetracks and introducing me to people. That's the good part about Jimmy Kitchens, is he knows just about everybody. And if he doesn't know somebody, he knows somebody that knows everybody else. So he started some great relationships for me. He helped me get to that 21 car this year and put me in a better ARC program. So he deserves a lot of thanks.
Yeah, Jimmy Kitchens, that's a guy I kind of knew a little bit about him growing up when he tried to run in the Xfinity Series and everything, but that's a guy that is one of the best late model drivers, I think, around. He was good friends with Hutch Strickland and all those guys, and that's got to be that was really cool. When I heard that on Judson's podcast, I was like, man, that's pretty cool that you get to work with Jimmy.
Yeah, he's a really good dude. You know, he, like you said, Hutch Strickland, you know, Dickie Davis, two-time Snowball Derby winner.
It's another good one.
He's good friends with. Actually, Dickie texted me. That's one of the cooler texts that I got after winning on Saturday is Dickie Davis reached out and congratulated me. So, Hutch Strickland, Taylor Strickland actually did my seat insert and he's, you know, Jimmy just has a lot of good relationships that help both me and him. My spotter at GMS right now actually is friends with Jimmy, so they're kind of working together on doing what they can to get me the best information during a race. Even though Jimmy's not spotting for me, I kind of got, you know, him in the background doing what he can for me.
Okay, so we had some technical difficulties here. I think our good friend Daniel went through a tunnel and lost service. So we got it fixed, and here we go. We're back on the main entree. And we're back here on the main entree podcast. Had some technical difficulties there, I think. I think our good friend Daniel was going through a tunnel there for a second, right?
Yeah, I was actually leaving the house to go pick up Kevin Striegel. He runs Kevtron Media. We have a wind party tonight, so I think the service is kind of bad between my garage and my truck. So
yeah,
I think I lost you there.
That's good though. A wind party, you'll have some cheese trays and everything. Have a good time for a wind party. It's well earned, I'd imagine, after that victory.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. There's going to be a lot of cool people there. I think some of the guys from Ben Caney Racing might show up. Hopefully, Ben will be there. I got to keep muting you. I'm sneezing a lot.
That's all good. It's all good. Weather's crazy out there, I'd imagine. So allergies.
Right now it hasn't been bad today, but whenever I travel back, that's kind of something that I struggle with. Like a first day or first 2 days back to a place, or not back, but getting there. It tears my my allergies up. So struggling with that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a cool night. Going to have a lot of good people celebrating our win. I'm humbled to have as many people that's coming to this deal, knowing how many people support me. So I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody.
Yeah, you got a lot of fans coming up here, climbing the ladder. There was one thing you mentioned the other day on my good friend Judson's Zoom call. I think you mentioned something about the Xfinity Series and how you kind of like that car a little bit better than what they have in the new car, and you wouldn't be opposed to just driving the Xfinity car for a while. Could you kind of explain a little bit to our listeners, like, what the difference between those two cars are?
Well, you know, I guess we don't really know yet. We haven't seen the next-gen car race yet, so that was just kind of a maybe, you know. I honestly think this next-gen car is going to race really, really well. It's going to be a more versatile race car, being able to be more competitive at a road course as well as you know, ovals, and they're going to get on a dirt track at Bristol. So I don't know, man. The Xfinity cars, they don't have a whole lot of downforce. They got a good bit of power, and you just get after it in those race cars. The next gen, I think, might be similar. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, with how technology works these days, the race car is just going to keep getting faster and faster, and it's going to be really, really cool to see these cars hit the track in February. I know that the chassis are actually going out this week, so
wow.
I'm really looking forward to seeing those cars race in February.
Absolutely, and what you mentioned with the Xfinity car with less downforce, I'd imagine with the power that those cars have, that would be more akin to the super late models that you've been running, right? Like, it would be similar in nature?
I mean, I guess so a little bit, but, you know, supers and those heavy cars, there's about a 700-pound difference. The supers are a good bit lighter, so, I don't know. A little bit, I guess. I feel like with less downforce, you got to it just makes it harder to drive, if that makes sense. You have to work for it a little bit more.
Absolutely. So, Daniel, thank you so much for taking the time. I usually wrap it up with a question that has nothing to do with anything. So here's my question that has nothing to do with anything. What would you say is your all-time dream car that you want to – if you win the Daytona 500 or win the championship, you just got $1 million, you can buy any car you want. What would you say is your all-time dream car?
That's a good question. I think it would be a Ram TRX, but if they can make it a Longhorn. The Longhorn is like a level of, it's like the luxury truck that they do. It's got it's really nice interior, you know, the whole nine yards in a truck. So I would say, if they can drop a Hellcat engine in a Longhorn truck, that would be my dream car. So we'll see. Hopefully by the time I got that much money, that's an option.
Yeah, you seem like a truck guy, more of a truck guy than a car guy. Like because that TRX though, that thing will fly. That was kind of their answer to the Raptor a little bit, right?
That thing's the Raptor killer. So I have a Ram 1500 right now. So my dad's the Dodge dealer here in Daytona, so I don't know if I'll be in anything that's not a FCA product here anytime soon. But hopefully, with where everything's going, I'm going to have to drive a Chevy here if I keep climbing the ladder with GMS.
That's a good point. You got that relationship with Maurice Gallagher and everybody, so I think we'll see you here in the not too distant future, moving up, because to go out there and run the way you did at Berlin, to make that save, it definitely shows you got a bright future. So really good to get to talk to you before you kind of blow up a little bit, so you can say, hey, I got to talk to Trey before, or we could say, I got to talk to Daniel before he kind of blew up. So thank you so much for taking the time, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. I love doing stuff like this.
Yeah, for sure. All right, this is the main entree. That's Daniel Dye. Thank you for listening.